Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And the standing between the living and the dead service family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 327, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order with my family. This unique, and with you, of course, this unique viewpoint and arrangement allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history, in the present and in the future. Today we are reading 1 Chronicles chapter 10. First Chronicles chapter 9, verses 40 through 44, and 2 Samuel 4:4. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who are born-again Christians and who are truly willing to confess our sins and repent. Lord, please forgive us of our sins. And Lord, help us to not think that we can play games with you regarding sin. Sin is a very serious matter with you. Unfortunately, it is not with us because of our wicked, sinful nature. But help your people to realize and to understand that you do not play regarding sin. You sent your only begotten Son to die for our sins as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us. Please forgive us of our sins, our faults and failures, and help us by your grace to repent of our sins. Lord, save those who are lost, even in the church. Revive those who are saved. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would crush and crucify our wicked, evil flesh and sinful nature, and fill us afresh and anew, even today, with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Grant us your energy and your strength, your unction and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty of your Holy Spirit, to read your Holy Word and to pray in this untoward, wicked, evil, and ungodly generation. Wash and cleanse our souls and spirits and hearts and minds in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Thank you again, Lord, for the privileges and the favor and the blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us down through the years. Thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. And Holy Father God, help us to never forget your good right hand of love and blessing upon such wretched people as we are. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would indeed rebuke and bind our enemy the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from our individual lives and our families and our ministries and churches. Lord, we pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of the lives of the people here and out there. Lord, some who claim to be saved but don't act like it, and some who are not saved. And Lord, whatever the case might be, Christians being oppressed by the devil, some people who claim to be Christians, just religious but lost. Lord, we pray that you will drive the demons of hell out of their lives. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from your people. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord, today. And I do pray that you will deliver each and every one of us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, help each and every one of us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent. And to repent of our sins, Lord, by your miraculous power and your miraculous grace and mercy. For Lord, you want us to repent and do right by you more than we want to do so. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us. For Lord, you know we can't do it by ourselves. I wish we could, but we can't. However, we do have a role. We can choose to want to do it and to seek righteousness. And we pray, I pray that you'll help us to do that. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get back to you, our first love. I pray, Lord, today for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving. Lord, in our personal lives, our families, our communities, our churches and ministries, our country, and this sin-cursed world. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed, Lord, deliver all of us who are saved from distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties and troubles and problems and fears. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Lord, I do pray that you deliver us from all of our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. As well, those of us who are saved and who name the name of Christ and who are striving to serve you, not only our family and our ministry and church, but Lord, others as well. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver each and every one of us as well, Lord, from spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family and financial, student loan debt, student progress problems, and deliver millions, Lord, from a housing crisis, food crisis, utilities crisis, and medical crisis. Lord, we pray that you would bless and protect our family and our ministry and church here, but do the same for all other Christian families and ministries and churches around the globe that stand for you Protect us all from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from sin and evil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people, Lord, in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world, and give us sweet victory over all of that. And Lord, I pray that you'll place upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And we pray that everything will go smoothly throughout the remainder of our time in this day. And I pray that everything will go decently and in order. And Lord, help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to read and to meditate on your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus Saith the Lord. First at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on the sword and died. So Saul died, and his three sons and all his house died together. And when all the men of Israel that were in the valley saw that they fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, then they forsook their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And when they had stripped him, they took his head and his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to carry tidings unto their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh, and buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse. Now, beloved, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 40 through 44. And the son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal begot Micah. And the sons of Micah were Pithon, and Melech, and Tariah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Jarah, and Jarah begot Alemeth, and Azmaveth, and Zimri, and Zimri begot Moza. And Moza begot Baniah, and Rephah his son, Eleasah his son, Azel his son. And Azel had six sons, whose names are these: Azricam, Bokiru, and Ishmael, and Sheariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Now, beloved, 2 Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for your holy word. Have it to find a lodging place in our wicked hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to confess our sins and repent, and help us to take heed to your holy word. Help us to remember it. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to comprehend it. Help us to grow to the point to teach it to others in a discipleship way. And help us to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, and evangelistic service. Beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 502. Jeremiah 49:23 reads, concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Dr. Spurgeon goes on to share devotionally, little know we what sorrow may be upon the sea at this moment. We are safe in our quiet chamber, but far away on the salt sea the hurricane may be cruelly seeking for the lives of men. Hear how the death fiends howl among the cordage. How every timber starts as the waves beat like battering rams upon the vessel. God help you, poor drenched and wearied ones. My prayer goes up to the great Lord of sea and land, that he will make the storm a calm and bring you to your desired haven. Nor ought I to offer prayer alone. I would try to benefit those hardy men who risk their lives so constantly. Have I ever done anything for them? What can I do? How often does the boisterous sea swallow up the mariner? Thousands of corpses lie where pearls lie deep. There is death, sorrow on the sea, which is echoed in the long wail of widows and orphans. The salt of the sea is in many eyes of mothers and wives. Remorseless billows, ye have devoured the love of women and the stay of households. What a resurrection shall there be from the caverns of the deep when the sea gives up her dead? Till then there will be sorrow on the sea, and may I add on the land, as if in sympathy with the woes of earth, the sea is forever fretting along a thousand shores, wailing with a sorrowful cry, like her own birds, booming with a hollow crash of unrest, raving with uproarious discontent, chafing with hoarse wrath, or jangling with the voices of 10,000 murmuring pebbles. The roar of the sea may be joyous to a rejoicing spirit, but to the son of sorrow, the wide, wide ocean is even more forlorn than the wide, wide world. This is not our rest, and the restless billows tell us so. There is a land where there is no more sea. Our faces are steadfastly set towards it. We are going to the place of which the Lord hath spoken. Till then we cast our sorrows on the Lord, who trod the sea of old, and who maketh a way for his people through the depths thereof. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together around your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us once again, no matter how bad things are down here because of our own sin, because we have believed in you, one day we're headed to the peaceful shore. Help us to live like it. Help us to act like it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue to do what we've done in over 520 standing between the living and the dead services, and that is read the family verses every day, or what I call the family verses, found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, which are not read by most families and are not read by most churches. Even in a wedding, I have never heard these verses read. And in fact, these are the divine instructions from God directly to the husband, to the wife, to the father, to the mother, and to the children, and I believe at the beginning of every family, at the wedding, these verses ought to be read henceforth. We read verse 22 and verse 23 on yesterday. Therefore, verse 24, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I truly believe that if wives across this country called America and around the world would simply do these three verses, verses 5:22, 5:23, and 5:24. Beloved, as I was saying, I believe that if all wives, particularly we're talking about Christian wives, because heathen wives, lost wives, are not going to do this, but sad to say, there are many heathen wives and lost wives instinctively know how to do this, and they do it to keep peace in their home. And I believe that it's incumbent upon the wife to keep the peace in the home, because she is supposed to be in subjection to her husband. And we got too many husbands trying to keep peace in a hellacious home where everybody is disobedient and proud and stubborn and rebellious. And that's not your job, gentlemen. Your job is to rule and to make sure that everybody else in the household keeps the peace under your rule. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and that ought to be your rule right there. And we're not going to have a bunch of demonic, hellacious mess going on in this Christian home. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, if a woman wants to be right with God and Jesus, she needs to subject herself voluntarily and cheerfully to her husband if she wants to be pleasing to that husband. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How about it, wives? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to obey God's word for the peace and the joy and the happiness of your home? So many wives under weak Ahab husbands have destroyed their lives and their families. They have destroyed their children's lives. In some cases, they have destroyed their weak husband's lives because the husband let her do it, hearkening unto her devilish voice. Here's a principle that most of you people don't understand. God will bless what the husband says in the home and does in the home if he's standing on God's word and doing what God wants him to do over what the wife says in the home, because he is the voice of authority. God will make it come to pass. Let me tell you a secret, men. If you are a godly man and God puts something in your heart as to how he wants things to go, if you would just have the courage to say what God wants you to say to your wife and your children, he'll make it come to pass. In other words, he'll make it to stand. It won't fall to the ground. Because you are a prophet, a priest, and a king in your own household. Gentlemen, do what God tells you to do. Do what God leads you to do. Don't worry about your wife's feelings or what she thinks. And by the way, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you wives something. You want to be in subjection to your husband? You address your husband properly. He does not mind getting advice from you. You may have a better idea. That's fine. On certain things like cooking and what color the drapes ought to be, how something needs to be fixed in the house. You're not a dummy. You can contribute to stuff like that. But it's how you contribute. You don't go to your husband and say, look here, dummy, this is the way you do it. And that's how some of you talk to your husbands. You don't curse your husband under your breath, then try to give him a suggestion or give him what you think about something. Now, here's how you approach your husband. You address him with a respectful name, title. I told my wife from Jump Street, after we got married, you will refer to me as Daddy. That's it. And I told her that and trained her to do that, and that was it. You're not going to call me by my first name. You're not going to call me Daniel and all of that. And you're not going to call me any of the other devilish names the devil has put in your heart to call me. That's number one. So my wife, if she approaches me with a suggestion, idea, she just can't blurt it out. She says, excuse me, respectfully. She says, excuse me, Daddy. Or, excuse me, please, Daddy. I have a suggestion. Respectfully. And we'll deal with the reverence and respectful thing a little bit later in the week. That's my suggestion to you. You do as you please. How's it working for you? Wives, how's your plan working? Manipulating your husband, disrespecting your husband in front of other people. That's the devil working through you, whether you like it or not. And as I said in a sermon recently, many parents need to take the responsibility, some of the responsibility, as to why their children's marriages fail, because the parents did not raise the children right, male and female in many cases. Because everybody wants the wonderful benefits of marriage, sex without guilt, companionship, and all of that. But people don't want the responsibilities that come with it. And we have not raised our children to be responsible individuals, mature individuals, who suck it up. Yes, that's what I meant to say. We need more young people who know how to suck it up when things don't go the way they want them to go, and life does not go smoothly, and the debts are high, and the money is low, and you allow your mood and your attitude and your spirit, and if you don't like something, to affect you. Oh, you hooked them with a smile and nice dress and smelling good and talking and grinning and making him think that you respect him and honor him and you appreciate his words. But as soon as you got him hooked, you got him on the hook, and you get your ring and you get married, then you want to start controlling him and dominating him and talking any kind of way to him, cussing under your breath, mumbling under your breath like a demon from hell with a nasty attitude. And some of you never get into a good mood after you get married. You stay that way because that's how you were before you got married. And now you want him to accept your stinking attitude and your stinking self, because you don't shower like you used to. You don't put on clean clothes like you used to. You walk around stinking. And Bishop Dr. T.D. Jakes said, and he's a very loving man, very loving, way more loving than me, but I didn't say it. He said, I can't stand a stinking woman. That's what he said. And your husband can't either. But that's how you are now because you just don't care. You're going to do what you want to do. See? And that's why you want to be without a husband. Some of you women, you're mad at me for saying this, but you got caught in the plague because you ran your husband away to another woman, and another woman had your husband while you was cold with no warm body laying beside you at night. Well, and you talked about your husband like a dog, like you didn't want him, you didn't want him anymore, and he was not doing it for you anymore, and all of that. But you wish you had it during this cold plague, didn't you? And don't you? Because it's not over with. You needed that man throughout this plague when he was with somebody else and warming her body up and fixing the furnace for her. And fixing the water heater for her. And fixing her sexually in every other way. And you, with your proud, arrogant, stubborn self, mean as the devil, you wish you had him back. You got caught in the plague with nobody. You got caught in the plague, running off at the mouth, separating from your husband, divorcing from your husband, children screaming and hollering for their father the whole time because they were scared throughout the plague, the coronavirus plague. They needed their father. But you, with your proud, devilish self, ran your husband away. And you want somebody to feel sorry for you, don't you? Let me tell you something, honey. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And especially your girlfriends who have your husband. They're not going to feel sorry for you. And they will blame you for running him off, even though they egged you on and coached you and told you before the coronavirus plague, get rid of your husband. I wouldn't put up with that. Well, you'll put up with it now, won't you? You're begging him to come back. You're pleading. Oh, but he can't really come back because of the coronavirus plague. You're sitting there on the phone on the bed crying. Crying and getting sexually stirred up by talking to him on the phone about how you want to be with him sexually. Getting all wet in the face and wet elsewhere because you miss the sex you used to have with them. Then you're also crying about how bad your teenager children, his children, are acting with bad attitude, similar to the bad attitude you displayed to your husband. The devil is a lie. But what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man doeth, that shall he also reap. That includes a woman too. By the way, God is no respecter of persons, my dear friend. God deals with men, and he deals with bad men, evil men, and he deals with bad women and evil women, contrary to what the sweet little evangelical church teaches today, that all women are wonderful and great and angelic. That's a damn lie, people. I don't care if you like it the way I said it, but that's what it is. It is not biblical. More women have caused more chaos and destruction in families, in churches, in businesses, and all kinds of confusion down through the years, I believe, than men. But men are just as guilty because some allowed it to happen because they were getting something from her. They have been bribed by the vagina. Huh. controlled and dominated. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that, let's move on and do something else that we've always done in the standing between the living and the dead. Service. And that is, pray for others, not just we ourselves, but pray for others. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of all lost souls, because we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We pray for the revival of Christians who are truly born again. We pray, Lord, for the healing of the sick. We pray, Lord, for the comfort of the grieving. And all around the world, in our country, in our communities, in our churches, in our families, and in our individual lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ, red, yellow, black, and white. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray, and to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and get back to you, our first love. And Lord, help us to be, help everybody to be thankful for your chastisement, your rebuke, and your punishment. Be thorough with us, break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. And Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, and forgive us of our great sins of disobeying the great commandment and the great commission, and help us to repent. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to get back to you, our first love, in a very real sense. And Holy Father God, we pray for all government ministers. Lord, according to your will, let your will be done in their lives. We thank you for them, all of them, Democrats and Republicans and Independents. We're not on anybody's team. We pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And Lord, we pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of them, and cast out the spirit of lying. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them to obey your holy word in what they do. For we're paying a severe price for their sin, their evil, and their shocking disobedience. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all government heads and leaders around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all persecuted Christians around the globe, wherever they might be. Save, protect them, and save the lost persecutors, and provide for them, and give them your grace for their trying hours and for their dying hours, if necessary. But help them not to back up. Help them not to recant. Help them not to deny you, Lord Jesus. And when our day comes, when we're confronted with this kind of persecution, help us to do likewise. And Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the millions of people pardon me, Lord, around the world who are hurting today because of the coronavirus plague. And Holy Father God, and the deaths that have come in their families. We pray that you comfort them as only you can, draw them to yourself for salvation, help them to hear the gospel and to respond. Lord, we pray that you raise up thousands upon thousands of people to share the gospel by any means necessary, by for your glory, praise, and honor, so others can hear it and be saved. We pray now also for a few families by name that are suffering from the deaths of loved ones from the coronavirus plague, no doubt one of the strangest deaths certainly in our lifetime and maybe in history. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Texas police officer Andy McDonald. God help that family tonight. Today, we pray for the family and friends of Texas Police Detective Rodney Monahan, and we pray for the family and friends of Texas Coach Joy Rodriguez. We pray for the family and friends of Texas musician Jesse Overton, and we pray for the family and friends of Georgia mother Marisha Kindred Jenkins. What a name. Lord, have mercy and grace upon the millions of families that are grieving even after a year. Lost loved ones they really couldn't even hug and say goodbye to. Lord, we pray for all of the thousands of folks who have sent in prayer requests down through the years, and thank you for giving us the strength and the faithfulness to pray for them and their requests repeatedly. And now, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests, as well as ourselves, and that is, we pray that you'll bless them with salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings. And we pray that you would hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers. We pray for Adriana. We pray for a few by name. We pray for Adriana. Please save her family and heal her daughter, Diana, mentally, and give her true joy. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Paya. Please save and heal her family and break all ancestral curses. We pray for Claudio Gomez. Please save all his family and friends and heal them of all illnesses they have, and bring about family restoration. Provide them with the buses and finances they need to build a church. Bless all his family and friends' finances and settle all their court cases and problems they're facing. Deliver them from demon possession, demonic soul ties, witchcraft, and sorcery. And Lord, we pray now for all of the people who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by hearing the gospel through this pulpit and the preaching from this pulpit all around the globe by your great power and might. And we thank you for the thousands who have believed on you and made professions of faith. And we pray for a few by name. Today, help them all to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Exmina, Serena, Carla, Jay, and Hano. We also pray, Lord, for all of the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We thank you for the thousands who have done that through the preaching of your holy word from this pulpit. And it is an amazing thing all around, because, as you know, Lord, I don't give this invitation for recommitment. And yet these people have done so at the preaching of your holy word. And then, on top of that, they felt the need to voluntarily send in the fact that they did that. And of course, this is all you. It is not us. And I pray now for the thousands who've done it and a few by name. We pray for Novellis. We pray for David, Patty, N.T., and Patricia. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Make sure you pray without ceasing. Please know that I'm preaching live at 8 o'clock Central Time every morning by the grace of God. If the Lord should tarry, his coming. And I really mean that. And if we live. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed." Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner
And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.